animals by chance?
They saw him at Pet Boys. Pet Boys. You want the 4-gauge? On the air.
But thanks for asking.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, if you don't have one of these, this is, it's just a never-ending, it's a never-ending notebook. So it's got, you know, it has all my travel, where I'm going.
Yeah.
There's a bench book where I created a bench book on it. If the judges want something on contempt, they can click on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Outline on contempt, there's an advisement on contempt. I mean, they can get it literally at the click of a button. This is criminal. This is how you do a criminal jury trial. You can put these things out so you can actually see what they are. So if they, yeah. So you, literally, it's endless this way and endless this way in each notebook. And so you create one. This is my budget.
You're right here.
Thank you.
Entire budget presentation.
Someplace.
Exactly.
Once you can, so you can just click and go to them.
Okay. Statewide Internet Portal Authority.
Items.
Now
here's my
come
report that affected that decision item. Right underneath it, here's my probation decision item. Here's all the treatment stuff.
Excused.
Technical. My third decision.
Excused.
Item.
Bob
Feingold.
Here.
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 Mike Lukaitis.
Here.
Representative Marastica.
Here.
Joe Maroney.
Here.
Don Maris.
Here.
Senator May.
Here.
Rico Munn.
Mm-hmm.
Annette Quintana.
Here. Great. We have a quorum. Thanks for being here. I think this is the largest meeting we've had. I've been here. And I want to thank Kathy for getting the information out to us well in advance of the meeting. It was appreciated. Everybody hopefully had a chance to look through the meeting minutes of the previous meeting. And that is where we are for approval of the March meeting minutes. So anybody that feels like raising.
Second.
Kent Glassman moved. All those, is there discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those are adopted. Presentation. Jill, you're up.
Mr. Chairman. Oh,
no, you're, it says Jill. Jill Rippey. Greg Rippey.
Mr. Chairman, what you'll see on this agenda is that we switched some things around. And I got this presentation at the very first. I asked Dan and Jill and the rest of the CI team, after they previewed this with me last week, I was so impressed that I said, you know, the board needs to see this at the very first of the meeting while they're still very fresh. And I truly hope that you're as excited about this, what you're going to see today, as I am, because so much effort has gone into it. And Bob, we'll talk later about this. So I'd like to turn it over to Dan. Oh, it was the Cathalia discussion.
Oh, okay, yeah, but yeah, we're on later for that.
Thanks, everybody, and thanks Greg Rippey for getting us a spot on the agenda. Hopefully this will be the entertainment portion of the meeting today. Y'all met Jill Weisbrot. Jill Weisbrot in my brain for some reason. Jill Wilhoit, who's our project manager, who's been responsible for basically cracking the whip over the staff members that were responsible for what you're going to see, which is the new design for the Colorado.gov homepage. I'd also like to introduce some CI staff members, Barry Lawson and Jennifer Otto and Derek Blankenbuehler, who are the three technical folks. Barry and Jen are our creative folks. Derek's the CMS project manager, and Jill's been the slave driver internally to make this thing come together. I'm going to turn it over to Jill in just a minute, as the agenda promised, but you'll remember the last meeting, I almost, but not quite, promised you this, that you would see this month. So we really put the pressure on our guys to get this ready. For today, what you're going to see is a new, basic new design for the website that incorporates a lot of the features that Cathalia Robinette and the Center for Digital Government talked to us about at the NIC Partner Conference. Mike Lukaitis and Greg Rippey and Kent Glassman were there, and who else? Well, Senator May was there, and Bill Cabin was there. So, in your stack of papers, you have something called Notes from Cathalia Robinette's Presentation. And these are really the verbatim line item notes that I took while Kathalia was running down her list of the things they look for at the Center for Digital Government when they evaluate websites for the best of the web content. And when you put your fingers on that, I won't read it to you, but these are the. This was essentially our roadmap for how to build this website that you're about to see.
It's at the bottom of yours.
Some of the things that you'll see here, first and foremost, we felt passionate that this should be a FatWire website because we're evangelizing FatWire around the state. We're offering that as a tool for all state government to use. This board bought it. We host it and install it. We staff it and we train people to use it. It's a huge resource. We thought it would be a little disingenuous of us to not host a state portal in it since we're asking other people to use it. So it's a FatWire site. Part of this process, in addition to Kathalia's notes, we went to every state portal website as a team, and we noted the coolest Web 2.0 features that we could find that were already out there live and working in other state websites, and then we figured how we could improve those. So you'll see a lot of ideas here that were based on a pretty careful analysis of what else was going on out there across the web in state government websites. Also, the second sheet you have is how we took Kathalia's notes and are phasing them into the deployment of the state of Colorado's website. So that said, I'm going to turn it over to Jill. She's going to give you a navigation. And I apologies to the members that are at the window end of the table. If it's hard for you to see the screen, please don't hesitate to stand up.
Okay, the bill.
Is this something you're either going over today or something?
No.
Squashed together.
So.
The plan for this, by the way, is to do a soft rollout next week. And what a soft rollout means is that on the existing state website, we're going to have a link that says, visit our new web page. And folks can click on that and actually opt in to go explore it. And then we're going to have an exit questionnaire that they can fill out and give us feedback in real time. We'll probably let that run for about a month. And based on the feedback, make some tweaks. And then we'll go live someday in about 30 days. So take it away, Jill.
All right. Hello, everybody. Again, this is Jill Wilhoit. I just want to kind of start off by saying Dan's absolutely right. We put together Kathalia's comments and put it into this site. So what I'm going to focus on today is essentially the main things Kathalia mentioned and also the really interesting, exciting features that we wanted to present that goes above and beyond what we've even seen on other sites. We'll start at the top and work our way down. So here we have got, let me see if I can do this easily. First thing I want to show you is this site is actually dynamic. What happens is that it actually moves to the size of your screen. And it's not great on this one because it's a smaller screen, but if you've got a big screen, it looks pretty impressive because it actually expands outward. So what we wanted to focus on was making sure that everything on this site is pretty crisp, clean, you can get to information easily, that kind of stuff. We'll start at the top. Here we've got our tool belt. And essentially the tool belt is, it just provides the user with options on how they want to see this site. So you can do like a text version, you can do a text size, big or smaller, you can print it, you can email yourself the link, and there's also mobile capabilities here. So we try to make it more user-friendly and whatnot. Here we've got our exciting top nav. And what this does here, you'll see these actual left nav categories. This allows us to easily access other portions of the site. So right off the bat on the front page, we're saying, here is what this section holds. This is the information you're going to find. It's very easy, very, very concise, something that we're not offering previously that we definitely wanted to add to this site. So then
move. It does also, excuse me, Joe, you need to have a static. Very dynamic. You want your mouse over. Better use of.
Question. In the text version, does this comply with the Americans with Disability Act requirements?
We designed it
This is all done with style sheets.
Okay.
So what you're actually seeing inside the page.
Okay.
This is just.
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay, thanks.
Let me see your government one up there.
Okay, so this is the government section. C. I can go into more specifics as we go through if you want. I can go to some of their pages and kind of browse through it. Just to kind of give you an idea of the rest of the site and the features that we want to show you guys today, we have this interesting banner here, and if I refresh, you'll see that a new banner image comes up.
Oh, yeah.
So we're able to rotate the images, and the other really exciting thing that we've done is we've made these images seasonal. So in spring, you're going to have spring pictures, and fall, you'll have fall pictures. It's just a great way for a user to come back, not be scared because it's not what they think, but exciting because there's unique features on here and things that are constantly changing and being updated.
Have you tried this with several browsers?
Absolutely, yes. We designed for the latest version of Firefox, IE, and
Mozilla is Firefox.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah.
But Skype, yes.
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 And because those are the top 5% of browsers.
If you have Internet Explorer 6, you may have issues, but you can upgrade for free.
Then, oh, this actually just takes you to a page that tells the user how to access the mobile site. So they type in colorado.gov/mobile on their handheld device, and it'll bring up on your mobile the mobile-friendly. So then wanted to talk about the main kind of focus on the site, which is this middle section here. We have our services, how do I, and information for. And you'll notice as I'm going through these, I'm not clicking on any of these. It's kind of a new technology, something that some of the sites are moving towards is this kind of hover ability, where it automatically goes to the next tab. And we've tried to incorporate that on several places on our site. The very interesting thing about the services and how do I's is these are actual unique links. What this means is if we change the URL for any of these, anywhere these links show up in the website, they will change. So using CMS, we're able to keep the website a lot more updated, a lot more current, a lot more fresh. So it brings, and I'll kind of show you when we get to the secondary pages, where the services and how do I also come into play.
What are those in, Jill?
Oh, good question, Dan. Thank you. What we did for the first rollout is, yeah, we work as a good team.
Softball. Yeah. Softball, get it out of the park, Jill.
Absolutely. Great question, Dan. the way that we have organized services and how do I on the home page is we actually have that tool summary, which we present our stats to every month with. And we went into that, into summary, and figured out what were the sites that got hit the most. What were the services that got hit the most? And what that means is the number of times people are accessing those. So we found the most popular services, the most popular how do I's, as well as we wanted to implement seasonal services and how do I's. So you'll see, for example, it's still tax season. So we wanted to include some tax services, things like that. So that's right there. You have TaxPay Colorado and all those kind of good links. In the future, we have some ideas on how to automate this process. Mark, do you want to go into that a little bit more?
Really, one of the great things about this, you'll notice the large, we had a pretty large Facebook feature list. How does to lay down a lot of groundwork versus in future phases. I'm kind of excited about the ability to, as instead of just putting in the link and the title of the link into the CMS, a date and a time, a start and an end date, so that we can actually control the sorting of the list based on the time that the page is viewed. Or when we enter a link, we can say, well, we want to feature tax applications from January 1 to April 15. And then when we're doing that query, actually sort those to the top during that time. After April 15th, all of a sudden it would get a lower rank and rank lower on that list. So that when we enter this, we can enter that data once and not have to continually update the site. Health would actually have the intelligence to rank these things appropriately. Putting this into CMS is kind of the first step in some of the future. to make this more self, even more self-managing.
Yeah. And to add to that as well, part of our long-term strategy is to contact agencies and get their top 2-3 and when they want those to display on the homepage as well, so that we can really bring the agencies together through this website, which is the whole intention of this. So moving on to state news and alerts. Here again, that same functionality with the tabbing. State news, it's different than what we have now. It's a lot more integrative, if I could say that word.
Integrative,
there you go. What we're doing is we're enabling agencies to select an option if they want to put state news on our website, on the homepage. So currently we have the governors and we have the lieutenant governors. A lot of the sites that Chris is working on, as he works closely with us, we're able to, you know, show him how to use it and be kind of the pilot for this. So currently we have the top three, which it's sorted by date, so you're always going to have the most current on the homepage. And then if you go to View All State News, this will show.
Agencies opt in, when you click on Show Me All News, all the agencies are participating.
Absolutely, yep.
For sites that are participating with Fatwire, they get this feature. This is coming directly out of their website.
Yeah.
So the title that they enter in here is the title that's shown on their website. Done in one place.
Barry Maroney.
Why was there a decision to make people scroll down instead of having it all on one page? I mean, you're going to have to scroll down on every page?
On that one, yeah.
Just on the front page?
Because the size of this screen makes
right.
us scroll down. But on my one in my office, I don't have to scroll. It's
just because of the format size of this?
Size of this format?
Yeah, size of the screen, yeah.
Of this
projector.
Of the projector.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise it is one page? Okay.
Depending on
that's
your,
good. I mean,
you got
the rollovers, and then you'd have to scroll down, so I just want to make sure.
You have a real low-resolution monitor because size
right.
is going to be bigger.
Okay.
If you have a very high-res monitor, it's going to be smaller.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Senator May.
It's supposed to be one page.
Senator May?
Just some way of telling the people what new items that we brought in. In other words, using that as part of our...
What we do currently is if something new comes about, we put it at the top of the list under services or how do I, and then we'll put a little dash new so we can continue doing that.
I'm thinking of is using it for marketing. We've had a hard time getting the word out on some of the stuff we brought up. I know that on my Outlook 2007 now there's tabs up there and there's a tab in the middle with some kind of flag on it. Away with that, but
well, another interface feature that we're the site, so you can subscribe to the services RSS feed and have that right in your Outlook.
Yep.
Or on your Google homepage. That information out to people.
Yeah, right.
Use it
no.
In whatever fashion.
So we can't just get to it.
We could get to it. They'll give us the URL.
Yeah. See, I've already read your report for this night. Good stuff on there, but the problem is how do we get it out to other people? Really good stuff on there.
Moving on to a section that we did add was Community Highlight. We wanted to be able to offer people a chance to learn about the communities in Colorado. We contacted OEDIT, and we are linking directly to them. And what we're doing is providing a little bit of a picture, providing a photo courtesy, and then this link here will actually take you to OEDIT's or Colorado.com site, with all the information about that community. So it's a really great way to get the communities involved, let people see what's around Colorado.
How often is that going to change?
That actually, that rotates as well. So if I refresh the page, then a new community should come. That kind of technology is the same for the banner, community highlight, Colorful Colorado. All these things change to bring a unique look every time the user goes back to the website. Yeah. We need to know. We also added the media center. Here we wanted to also, again, get people involved with what's going on in Colorado, you know, provide a list of events, give them, you know, some audio feeds, some video, webcams. It's just a way to interact with the community, get them involved in Colorado. And then at the top here, I'll start top right and go down.
Man, you've got some pretty interesting cams there. Does that also do like I-70?
Yeah.
traffic ops center?
That goes
to
the CDOT site.
So you can see when you're headed to Steamboat to go skiing how rabbit ears are.
That's exactly what I do.
Sure. So starting at the top and working our way down on the right, we have the Governor Bill Ritter's link to his website. And something that Kathleen also mentioned was we want to make sure that state, local, and federal is all very easily accessible from the homepage. So we made sure that these links here were visible and easy to get to. And what these do is take you inside the CMS site, and it provides a link to different state links, different local, and then different federal links. So it's a great way to kind of combine the resources and lead people to the right place.
Could you just click on the local for us? And if I may, Jill?
Yes. I'm sorry, this is... Absolutely, go ahead.
So one of the nice things about this is we're using the core data from like CML and CCI and then drilling down to the local communities and counties to be able to do this. And so they've got their data, and as we start talking about how we service local governments better, they can say, look, if my website's better and I can put this in there, I've got delivery through Colorado.gov, and all somebody's got to do is click on local and they can get everything that I'm putting up on my website right now.
We've got some GIS in there, so we...
Hang on for the rest of the show.
Well, I'm talking about for elected officials.
Yeah, we've shown them where your house is.
Don't do that, the unions will bomb it.
All right, so...
Not the urban renewal you were looking for, is it?
As soon as I finish the home site, then we'll kind of get into the very exciting stuff. We have some other great new features that we've added. We added a help center. We wanted to make sure there was one place that somebody could go to that had all the resources available to them. Apart from Google, that's the same Google that we use on our current site, we wanted to give them Contact Compass, which I presented last week. There's live help, state agencies list, you know, the feedback, telephone directory, 211-511. These are all things that Kathleen also mentioned, making sure that these were up front that users can get to very easily, so we put them in one spot. And this was actually very popular on a lot of the other best of the websites that we noticed as well. Then we've got weather and traffic. Weather is actually an XML feed, and the very cool thing about the weather is it can localize. So if I decide I want to get Steamboat Springs, every time I come to Colorado.gov, I click remember the city or town, and then I go to it, and it'll update the weather. And then every time I come back to this site, it'll show me what that weather is for that particular place.
You hit. Can we look at view all under services? Are you saying that this is going to be self-learning, and it'll continue to elevate those most popular services up into the list, and the rest will drop down into the view all?
Yeah, in future phases.
And you guys, you made a determination for where to start this at, and then it's gonna evolve going forward on its own?
I mean, this is a feature, that's right now what we're doing with this is it's arbitrary ordering. So somebody goes in.
Okay.
A human.
But it's not arbitrary, we're doing it by...
Right. We took the highest hits, the most popular services, and then also the ones that fall in that season. Those are, and the newer ones. Those are all
do a pool for how long it'll take the pesticide applicator service to fall off the most popular list of things that people hit on in Colorado.
And some of the reasons why some of these are on here that don't necessarily look like they belong are because they're new services that we put out.
Exactly right to be there.
Yeah, that's something. Right, yeah. A lot of the stuff that we've done here is setting us up to be able to add that next level for that next release where we work with that data. Right now, we concentrated a lot on displaying the data, getting the data into a, you know, form so that we have it all set up like a Word document. It's actually the individual fields. Have that data in there so that we can start to write more complicated filters. The other thing that I would mention about the weather is that she said it's XML to expect. This was kind of our demonstration for how to do that with FatWire, and you can expect to see us or to pull in more XML data sources.
This one here. We can send you the link. Right now, it is definitely a test site, so when you go to it, just be aware.
Our soft rollout, we can go on the
homepage.
Yeah. Hey, Glassman.
You guys have put a real emphasis on training departments on FatWire and content. What does it mean for the people that have already gone through the training, the ones that are going through today, and the ones that, you know, come through? Has this changed the guys that have already gone through and they've got some content?
Kind of one of the, what we're looking at there is a training site. A lot of the stuff that they've learned up to date, rather than an article that has just a free one. That they'll have a little bit more structure to what they're entering. But there's the same tasks for how to create the asset, how to place it in the site, adding some additional primers on these new features. They can go to find out about these features.
That's my train to
see. Dan and I just talked about meeting and setting up a meeting so we can set something up.
Yeah, I guess my question is this
say
like
he wants to do it, but we
haven't done it yet. Or is this like you're still 90% done?
Got to
offer. We'll have to read it anyway.
Yeah.
New stuff with like
new things. They can start to add new content on their site.
Yeah, so I love your other technical term, hovering, and it's really cool. Will they be able to hover on all the sites consistently?
Yeah, as we we'll take their content, which is already there, and put it into the template.
Rico, what qualifies as state news?
10 years.
State news, that's the one where we enable the people within CMS, for example, the governor's office, lieutenant governor, anybody who's doing a site for us, agriculture is able to, there's an option in their web, in their CMS site that enables them to say, yes, I want this piece of news included on Colorado.gov. So it's essentially just enabling these, training these people on this is what's available and get asking them to use it, and we can put it in here. And this is what's currently happening with governor and lieutenant governor that Chris is
going to release all the PIOs to decide what state.
Yeah, what's the control?
That's it. We have when you kick the reporter. That's
that doesn't sound like a great idea.
Like any good state. It's what we tell you it is.
Yeah.
Comrade.
So the last feature that I wanted to show you on the homepage is the Color for Colorado. This is a photo gallery, and we actually do get a lot of comments about the photos that are on Colorado.gov currently, so we wanted to emphasize this a little more. You can select a category, let's do mountain, and the very cool thing about this is it shows up as a thumbnail, but then you can also select the picture and make it large so you can see the full picture. Eventually, what we want to do with this is allow citizens, users, to provide us with their pictures. We monitor them, approve them, prior to putting them in
the
CMS.
Rico. There you go.
Oh, I scant my summer vacation.
And any of the ones we choose not to put on there, Dan will take and manage those.
Yeah.
Road trip.
So that's
me at camp.
That's good. Colorado is one of the features that we're really hoping to be able to roll out to agencies. It's this entirely generated in Fatwire. So you create a page, you attach images. You don't do HTML. There's no tables and layout, that sort of thing. There's no generating the thumbnail versus the large image. That all of that is handled when you submit.
I like
page.
Fishing
report. Say I want these 10 pages, these 10 pictures in my
the
photo gallery.
The
target
is going to be to get the natural resources and wildlife to
play.
Kind of
one of those features that we think
are
pretty useful across
mm-hmm.
sites.
I think it'll be a problem.
Yeah.
Better
man.
There's some live ones you can put in there, too, like Pike's Peak.
And one of the nice things, you know, for old people like me, this concept of Web 2.0 is a little bit foreign, and that we're going to allow citizens to have some impact into a state website. And as we've been hearing about the millennials as a generation talking about the Web 2.0 and where it's going, this is a start for us on the state homepage to allow some of that interaction with citizens. A benign way.
I can program in hitting the phishing reports the state 100 times so I can get it on top.
Yeah. If that's the way you want to spend your time.
You'll get the other
100 rich.
So
then, we wanted to show you the two other elements we really wanted to highlight in this presentation were the secondary pages and the maps. I'm going to do the maps last because they're very exciting, and I think a lot of people are going to get very excited about them. So we'll go through the secondary pages first.
But we're still fresh, though, just so you know. We're all still, and we're refreshing.
Excellent. So here I'm going to go ahead and use one of our nifty little left nav sections. This will take me directly into the left nav regulations for the business section. The main thing about the secondary pages, and I don't know if a lot of you have kind of gone through and looked at the CMS sites, but we wanted to keep the current look and feel with, you know, the banner and the top nav and then have that side nav to help navigate through the site. So we've kept that consistent so that people know how to use it. So we're not really changing that too much, so they're very comfortable, so they'll still be comfortable with it. So the main things on here that we find pretty interesting are services and how do I's. The way that services and how do I's are populated in these call-out boxes are we have related, for example, we're in the business section. We've related any of the business services or how do I's to the section. So if I wanted to refresh, these here would all be new. So any of the services or how do I's from the business section can pull into there, so they're all relevant to that section that person's in.
It's also,
right.
Again, if that gets changed, that on every page in the site with one, by changing. Mounting to say, let's change this. Structuring in Fatwire like this, we can go into that link, change the title, and it will list out every page that it's about to change.
Wow.
Kind of cool.
Definitely using the benefits of
yes.
CMS. And then the really other exciting feature that we've added to this site is This might look familiar to some of you. It's kind of like the iPod look. What we wanted to do, sticking with the whole theme of providing easy access to information and services, these are actually all the main icons that are on the home page. So every page that the user is on within these secondary pages, they can easily and quickly, through these flyouts, have a quick glance at what it is, go in there, and select it if they choose to do so. So you can go to Community Highlight, you can check out different services, traffic, Colorful Colorado, and then the weather, all those features are still available here, Help Center. So we're never really leaving the citizen anywhere on the site. They can get back to us being the home page at any time.
This is the only part of the website that I personally take credit for. Because I wanted to have that little black box with the icons. How do we find that legislator from Northern Colorado that has a...
Just look to your left, Ron. On the corner.
Aren't you somewhere close by? Yeah.
Get that chip.
I mean, you should be able to find it because they won't always know your name.
Right.
So especially how to spell Verostica.
Right.
You can either use the Google search or you could go into the appropriate category and search that way. If you have any particular questions, you can see if it's listed under the How Do I. We have a full page of all the services, view all services, and we also have a full page of all the How Do I's. And if they don't appear on the site, then you can do on the site, you can just do a quick Google search. And the cool thing about Google, which we do want to implement on a future phase, is type ahead queries. So that, let's say I'm typing in governor, it'll come up with a list of ideas they think I might be looking for. So that's something that's not available now, but it's definitely a future phase element or feature that we want to work on. And the last thing I wanted to show you were apps. So let's go ahead and open these up. And I've gone through and kind of picked up an idea for this. A couple of things to point out on the maps page. We have implemented an accordion style left navigation. So we are able to hide the information if we don't want to show it and then browse through, and if we click that, it'll come back up. So what this is known as is an accordion style. So let's start with, let's go to a driver license location. So if I'm from, let's say, Colorado Springs, and I want to find out where the office locations are, click on that. Right here, we've got the main office location, and then I can kind of look at the map and go, okay, I need a bigger view, I can zoom in, I can choose the location I want, I can move the map around, I can look at it through the satellites.
Traffic overlay?
What'd you say?
Can you do the traffic overlay?
Yeah.
That is something we can consider for...
How long will it take you?
Yeah.
And then if you click the actual location you want to go to, it'll give you the information for that particular location. You can get directions.
Awesome.
So we'll do one of these real quick.
Is that Ron May's address?
This is Ron May's home address. And see, quite easily, quite clearly, it shows you, okay, this will take me an hour, 23 minutes. And the directions on how to get there using Google Maps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, you can move around. Maps feature. And currently, this will always be
Google. Yeah, subscribe.
This Maps feature was using Google Maps. We focused on a couple of the main topics, which were driver license office locations, titles and regs office locations. We're just starting state parks right now because we're starting to go into that season, but that one won't be ready for the initial launch.
Courthouses.
State agencies.
We're also working on an overlay. Your child goes to an elementary school or a daycare center, and we'll show you a certain radius of sex offenders that you live.
Yeah, it's a mashup.
Using the state database to do a mashup against the free. Google just puts it out there.
John Morris, you know, this is pretty incredible and pretty exciting. Why is it buried under a little phrase that says maps?
Yeah,
I would have never guessed that this stuff was behind maps. I would have thought maps were something totally different.
And we can definitely look into putting it somewhere else.
Yeah, I would.
That's
I
not
would,
a,
I like this in some big way.
That's one of the reasons why we're actually putting this site out as a, to get feedback and whatnot. The way we're launching this site is, Dan mentioned this before, is we're just going to allow people to provide us feedback so things like this we can collect and then enhance before we make it live.
Next to online services.
Bob Feingold,
Colorado Maine.
We can make it its own tab.
There are a lot of state agencies that have branches and areas to interface or offices to interface with the public out in Colorado. Wildlife offices, certainly the parks, you've mentioned that. Water resources, workforce centers.
Where the judges live.
Yeah.
Courthouses.
Courthouses and so forth.
Where jury's house.
Is that on the things to do list to expand those out?
Yeah,
with
actually,
those?
Every phase there, it's develop maps further. Yeah. So we'll just kind of look and see what makes the most sense. And it's a manual process currently. We have to go in and data entry it. So that'll eventually down.
Do you want to respond, or should I recommend?
I was going to suggest that any of the EDs in the room that an application for their particular
Bob Feingold?
I saw an application in California. It's called iamcaltrain.com, and it it automates a timetable of trains and. What was originally out there was just the table as a database, and you know you want to find out from one station to another, and you get vertigo looking at the tables. And so what the iamcaltrain.com site did was basically take that data, put it into an interactive map, so that you could basically see the bus routes and the train routes and so forth, and then just by mousing over them, you get the actual schedule off to the right of the map. So is that something you could interest RTD in, or you know, as a local agency anyway, to be able to do that kind of thing for their customers? You've seen the IM?
At the technology conference, they were talking, brought Kathleen's presentation to the developers and the directors of development, and IM Caltrain was one of the featured sites on that.
That was created by two people that actually work for a Web 2.0 company. It's called Flock. And I think it took them 2 hours and six beers.
Well, that really is, that's the essence of Web 2, when we talk about Web 2.0, is putting the data that you have out on the web, one of the big things, out on the web in a format that can be easily used by others to create these mashups that do new things and create new content. So we put out the state news and let that be something that people could use. Lots of ways to put this information out there and let other people create more than what we already have. So,
is the map function dynamic enough that it can pick up temporary locations? For example, if you put down the governor's press release about going to Grand Junction about various places he's visiting, addresses in there that you could click on and that would come up from that.
No, but actually, if you select an address and right-click and hit search Google. But yeah, that's something we can look at. I think another thing that we definitely allowing, just like the state news, where it can be shared throughout sites, take these assets of locations and let you know the most information about them. So, you know, take the driver's license, put that data in the hands of driver's license.
Annette?
Yes, I have. Approved or licensed daycares. Are they
show them, you know, in reference to where you've asked it to look on the map, bubble that will show you the basic information about the facility. And then from there, even go and ask the ask for the full
human services.
Okay, but so they wouldn't necessarily choose that private.
Not at this point. But
okay.
Oh, it's there.
That's what we do.
It's a policy not to right now. We talked, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
Private companies, because then you miss several daycare centers for some of them are in the database and you get sectors. A little cautious about linking out to
part of the reason I was asking diversity classes and got a list of the region of the state and the authorized driving. I was curious because, you know, when you shop on the web, it doesn't sound like it's the state.
I think it's on an agency, but
I see.
The last administration, it was a policy. It was a policy decision not to link to private sites in the last administration, but you know that's a policy decision that can be revisited. You know, it's up to the administration.
Senator May,
I got two things, Mr. Chairman. There is a DP. Safety. But for a training program, certified thing, so nobody thinks to go to that. And then Roxy's got a couple ways over there. We haven't done a very good job putting that out. We made the change, I think, in 06, was it not, Bill, on changing the driver's license permit. We dropped that to 15 and a half or something, then we moved it. Required this training, and then we didn't tell them how to get it, or where to get it. So
good bill.
That needs to be coordinated. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, I don't have it now, but you could possibly do it, where you go to a state park, you click on that park, and then I want to reserve parking place 37 between such and such dates in July, and I want to online make that card payment with my credit card.
They have that.
Reserve my spot.
But that's in the Division of Parks, and that's their own.
Part of it is already, but all of it's not to get there from here. That's what I'm.
No.
We need to link that together so that you don't actually have to go to.
You have to go to state.co.us/parks.
Does that not take you there when you hit those state parks? We're not taking you to those links? I'm sorry.
I don't think
it's coming up. Okay.
I don't think.
Gotcha.
There's a website link here that
gotcha.
Goes to,
go to the website.
parks.state.co.us.
Yeah.
This particular.
And that's how you get to the campground
it
reservations.
Is.
It is.
It's there.
Got the link. It's not the direct where you do it.
The intention of the mapping technology is that you want to look at the daycare center location and then find out the closest place you can go. Layers. We can have multiple layers with Google Maps.
And just plan your routing.
Yeah.
Jill?
Yes.
Great job.
Very
if, we
nice.
If we loan Jill to you guys over there in the legislature, would you pay us for the work that gets done to clean up
you know
your
what?
Page?
We just spent $18 billion. We're out of money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Kent Glassman.
This just...
Sorry, we will have more room.
Dan, this whole presentation just brought up a whole new kind of scope of services. I mean, we as a board track a lot of our successes to how many new apps we're launching, how quick, you know, the... Department of Revenue, taxpayer, driver's license, all that kind of thing. But what you guys have done is kind of quietly behind the scenes developed a whole lot of useful tools for the citizens. And my question is, how do we now moving forward kind of rate or monitor our rate of progress? Because I think there's so much that we can be doing. How much of your time and your staffing will be to this? Because if we're, you know, there's a certain argument that can be made, launch new revenue-generating apps. And there's an argument that can be made, keep doing this stuff, because this is really cool. Legislature and others should be seeing this. How do we get to a good, healthy balance there? How do we know what that balance is? And how do we know that you're rolling out new stuff at a good, healthy pace? Big long question.
This doesn't stop.
Well, how do you look at it and decide if you think what's good and healthy, and if you do, you are, and if you don't, then you bring it up to the board meeting, and we adjust our priorities. There's not an externally imposed, easy-to-define...
I've been trying to do that, but... It's the only reason that we have to do that to some extent. All the pro se's that use it, the citizens, because it's the only state library that per law. But there is a statutory requirement to the next.
Okay, and I'd like, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to give a little more thought to that, because I think even part of your general management
issues with
report,
they limit the public access ability. I'll talk to you.
And I'd like to see that stuff keep coming out. Rico was talking about the maps. We all had some other apps. I'd love it if the EDs would get you more agency-specific information. Pull that out. This isn't easy. This is costing you time and resources, right? So I guess I'd like to see that maybe as part of your general management report.
Some of it's not published that way. Which is amazing at today's age.
Greg Rippey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Kent, to your point, you know, you and I had a meeting a couple months back, and one of the questions that you asked is, how are things prioritized? How does this get on there? How does that get on there? One of the things, and I kept asking those questions on your behalf, too, to the team, and one of the answers was, okay, now we're going to start doing the web tracking, and that's what's going to prioritize. But we're also going to do the outreach to agencies to highlight things based upon special events or seasonality. But what I'd like to point out as you talk about this and as we visited the business plan last week, a major component of the request of the business plan is portal redesign. And what you're seeing here is you're seeing the result of the efforts that have been in the business plan last year that are talking about portal redesign, which has been a big effort for Colorado Interactive and the authority to put forward. But your point is, as we look forward and we look at additional applications that agencies are asking us for and how you prioritize, that all also gets into what we're going to discuss here a little bit later, is about that strategic vision of this authority. And that direction is needed and welcome to be able to say, okay, how do we prioritize those types of applications that get up there, and how are we going to prioritize helping DORA with their maps as opposed to, and that's the strategic vision that we talked about at the business committee meeting last week, and I think it's very appropriate, and it rolls all in together.
Yep. Senator May.
I've got to hit you on to what you guys are talking about here. Effective on July the 1st, this IT problem comes under OIT. All the IT stuff does. Somehow we need
opportunity,
to
not problem.
Correlate priorities. So that what is the priority of the administration or whatever needs to be built in to working CIPA and OIT working together to solve that problem, because we don't want you working on priority number 37 when we've got a problem with priority 2. We need to talk to one another. And that also may go back to a money situation next year going through the JBC as to what gets funded, right? So we really need to work closely on putting that together. The other thing that's bothering me a little bit is, you know, that I read a lot of pink sheets. In many cases, some of those pink sheets have gone through now and have been approved. And we're going to inherit a problem to work on at some point. Now, does that take number one priority on July the 1st? I mean, you may have 19 departments out there wanting their number one priority. But somebody's got to vet that out a little bit, just like
understand us and decide what you're going to work on next, right?
Well, and to your point, I'd like to remind you that we do have, and it has been the decision of this board, that there's ways things move around in the queue. We have the scoring matrix that does that. But there's three things that get things up higher in the queue. One is governor mandate, two is legislative mandate, and three is bring cash to the table to add resources to do that. Those are three ways that they move in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the board said. If under the self-funded model, we've got resources and we allocate it according to this matrix and the process that we have. If somebody is in desperate need and they can bring additional resources to it that is a little bit different than the self-funded model, that's the third way that you can move around there. But to answer your question directly, if there's legislative mandate, if there's governor mandate, it's going to come ahead of the agency request.
This is a really important discussion, but I try to keep these, for all of our sakes, at about 90 minutes, and we could get on this for quite a while. So I think we should need to, unfortunately, belay this.
And we didn't get even the question answered.
But I think we should get it answered, and you're right. But I think part of this, too, is why there's so many executive directors that make up this board. It's because you have the oversight of watching how the state gets steered in IT. Mike's here. He's got the IT shop, and that whole transformation's coming to him. You're responsible for not just your departments, but your impact on the decisions made on this board, on the other departments that you represent on this board. So I think that's a discussion we should have. But out of respect for the amount of time that we've already spent, which was totally worth it, it was well worth it. It's phenomenal. But we have got to get through this agenda, and then we can maybe have some other offline discussions. Or
my fault.
It's all Kent's fault. And we can address that and continue this going down the road, because it's not a yes or no, obviously, issue. So,
let me make
but
a quickie here.
Please, please.
In the past, those requests never all came through SIPA, all right? They were all doing their own thing.
Right.
Okay. Now what I'm hoping, and I think Mike's with me on this, is we would like to say, hey, we're going to look at SIPA first to see if SIPA can do the job for us before we go out there digging around on our own.
Absolutely.
Good point. Greg Rippey, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things. You've got before you the balance sheet and the P&L. It is a normal month in that we have seen the revenue stay relatively stable, about $1,000 less. You'll see an increase in employee wages and benefits because it was a three-payroll period. Our new employee, you will see, add to employee wages and benefits beginning in the March financial statement because Chris started on March 3rd for us. I had a conversation with Mr. Hobbs today as chairman of the Finance Committee, and I'd like to discuss later on about reconstituting some members on that Finance Committee. Mr. Hobbs and I discussed scope of the Finance Committee, and at the appropriate time I will talk to you about what we believe the scope, role, and function of the Finance Committee shall be.
Questions? Great. Ken Glassman, Business Committee.
Senator's slowing me down, Mr. Chairman. The Business Committee met last week. It was a very energized and interesting meeting. The first thing that we looked at and considered was our Executive Director, Greg Rippey, stated in the past that CI, by their contract, has a business plan that they are required to submit for the contract, and that SIPA staff, the executive director, also created a business plan. And since the last fall, Greg and I have been talking about how those really needed to be in parallel, and they also need to be in parallel with the proposed consolidation that Mike Lapidus and the governor are doing at OIT. So Greg came to the committee and asked, he thought it was a good idea to merge the CI business plan with the SIPA business plan. And the committee agreed with that and reviewed the draft of that. And as if there be three additions to that, and Kathy, I hope, took really good notes, because I took pretty good notes, but we're working on it. We'll have a new draft for you. The additions were to get more information around the financial sections, the marketing sections, and the processes for ensuring good service. Those coming from my cryptic notes. We'll have time to talk about that a little bit more.
Can I clarify
please.
That last one?
Please.
And really, it spoke more to maintenance of deployed applications and support. That you were close, but it needed a little bit of expansion there.
Very good, thank you. And so, although we as a business committee would endorse merging those two documents as one, Mr. Lokaitis and other members talked a lot about this board having its own document that was more of a strategic plan in order to enable both Greg Rippey, the executive director, and Dan as ED at CI to know what the board's priorities were and to come up with a couple of visionary statements, and then we envision this will be about a 5-page document. And I'd like to just throw it over, if I may, to Mike, who would chair this kind of a strategic plan writing subcommittee.
Sure. And the vision around a strategic plan might even be just a 3-page document. It would come from the board, and it would empower Greg and SIPA and CI to drive in a direction, but it would also allow us to align with this administration, because there are, you know, tweaks and tunes with every administration and its relationship with SIPA. So we've already started putting together an outline, a smaller committee of us, that we'll vet again with the business committee, and we'll have that done in short order.
We thought that this would accomplish a couple of goals. It would ensure the parallel nature of all three of these, the statewide consolidation, SIPA's business plan, and CI's business plan. So we'll have a draft and we'll bring it to you all before, you know, any formal action there. We also talked a little bit about the reconstitution, if you will, of the Finance Committee. And Mr. Chair and Mr. Executive Director, is this the right time to talk about the Contracts Committee and the Finance Committee?
We can.
Or do you want this in new business?
No, why don't you just cover while you're...
Well, this is easy because all I have to do is throw it to the Chair of the Finance Committee.
Perhaps first the Executive Director would like to comment on the committees.
Yeah, I would. And thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our bylaws, this board can create or dismiss committees at will. We have had standing committees of contract and finance, and since we've hired a integrator and a IVMV contractor, the contract committee has had very little to do. Since we moved from the previous administration, and the head of our finance committee was Henry Sobenet, who was head of OSBP, and then we went forward, there's been very little interaction with the finance from this board. I met with Mr. Hobbs today concerning that. We have some resolution that we'll talk about here in a minute, but I'd like to talk about the contract committee for just a little bit. As we were talking in the business committee, there's a recognition that this is a couple-year-old contract. We have an obligation under our contract, but we also, as a board, can take a look at where we are that is different from where we started when we signed this contract. Things are different, successes are different, and it's appropriate that as we start talking about things, that we enter into a mutually beneficial discussion with our contractor to see if there's things that we can do that benefit both our contractor and our core mission as we go forward in alignment with that core mission. And I have talked to Mr. Lokaitis, who has agreed to chair that contract committee upon your approval, Mr. Chairman, with that in mind, that this isn't trying to redo our contract, because we have a moral and legal obligation to live up to the contract that we have, but to sit down and in the spirit of moving forward and in recognition of the good things that we've all been doing, our contractor and this board, take a look at them in a partnership manner.
Mike?
And I would add that I would punctuate the partnership matter. The relationship that we have with CI and its parent company, NIC, is a great relationship, and it's built on a foundation of interactive. So this isn't any kind of review that we do with contracts will be done in the spirit of not unilateral, but sitting down with our partners and see how we can improve things, both from a state or a SIPA perspective and from a CI perspective, or not. But it helps us, too, as a board, understand what our current contract provisions are, what the vision initially was as we moved into those agreements. The same goes for our other partners, SysTest and the like.
So as I think about what the business committee did, we gave away all our responsibility to Mr. Hobbs and Mr. Lokaitis. If you're on the business committee, we're going to be pretty easy for a little while. Now, the last piece to that, and so are you all going to talk about who's going to be on those committees and kind of the mission or whatever you all want? I'll finish the business committee report. We can move to that or we can do it now.
I can talk about the finance committee and what Bill and I discussed earlier today was that a fairly nimble, small finance committee would be most effective in that we don't expect more than quarterly meetings on this finance committee in recognition that everybody's time is somewhat strained. And it would consist of Bill as chairman, Annette serving on it, as well as Roxy, who I believe has talked to Mr. Hobbs and agreed to. And so it would be a three-person committee along with myself giving them the information, with the scope being a couple things. One, review of the audit that is forthcoming from Clifton Gunderson. Two, to review the budget that is going to be proposed for fiscal year beginning July 1. Three is to then, as we look at an auditor for our next year, we've discussed taking that function out of SysTest contract and contracting out there separately. So that is one of the functions of the finance committee would be to identify the RFP and go out for RFP for audit function in the future. And that was the three primary functions, as well as just a general education of the members of the committee of where our accounts are now and to follow up on the money flow as we talked about at the meeting last Friday, so that it becomes second nature and more intuitive and more understandable to our finance committee members. And so that would be the finance committee suggestion to the chairman, who has the authority to.
Yes, Bill Hobbs.
And I think that's a real good summary of what Greg and I talked about. And as Kent said, this really was an important, I think, outcome of some of the discussions from the business committee and strategic planning and so forth. And I just want to reiterate, I think it really is important that we have a group on behalf of the board that's looking at the financial condition of SIPA. I think Annette brings experience with boards in this capacity, which I think will be great. Roxy has a lot of experience that I think will be terrific as well. And I certainly would welcome anybody else, but I think at least those three, I think, is a good start. I think Greg summarized what I picture the scope being at this point.
Thanks, Bill. Someone else was raising their hand. Did I miss it? Sorry. Well, and Bill touched on something. I was actually just talking to Greg. Anybody that would like to, has the time to serve, is certainly welcome. So please consider that on the table. And don't hurry to get your hands up, because I won't be able to get them all so quickly. Still looking.
Like, right. For me to change the subject.
Yeah. Like someone that may be going on JBC in the future
someone
or something.
Oh my God.
You said time.
Yeah. He's not going to be busy enough.
Okay. You're going to be bored. They want you on something else.
I'll follow on contract committee if the chairman is finished. And
well, we did get one. Tentative interest down there from Representative Marostica.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Why don't you just audit what they propose? you can do it on your time. Greg Rippey.
On the contract committee, Mr. Lokaitis and myself have discussed it in the spirit that we just talked, and I would then leave it to Mike to tell you about people that he's talked to that would be willing to serve on that committee.
Mike.
Certainly. Well, I don't know if we've had a conversation yet, but we'd really like to attract Rico Munn to this contract.
Well, that's awesome.
That's our number one draft pick.
Just do it all out.
You're the chairman.
All in favor, say aye.
mission because of his grasp of the historical perspective and great ideas for the future. Bob Feingold has volunteered. Annette has also volunteered. And then also from the gallery there, Becky and from Revenue and Ron from DHS. And I don't know if we've talked to you yet, Ron, but we'd sure love to have your expertise, and Becky as well.
Great.
I know that's a fairly large group, but not done. I'd also like to volunteer for the Finance Committee.
CPA thing might help.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, you know a CPA?
And save you money on your taxes.
Oh, God.
Now you tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I may continue with the business committee?
Sure, why not?
I want to circle back and just make sure, Mr. Executive Director, that we haven't got a formal process for seeing and finalizing the CI business plan, and we probably need to just follow up, you and I talking about that, and then perhaps a business committee. Finance, marketing, and I'll get with you on that. The only other the piece of business there is regarding the business portal, and that is we wrote the charter and we all debated the charter and put that together. And it was my understanding and a couple of people who were on the business portal subcommittee that we would meet with the steering committee. And the steering committee is made up of representatives from each of the departments, and we'd meet with them once a month and bring a report back to you all. And staff is recommending, and I'll turn this over to you, Greg. Staff is recommending that if we want to meet, we meet with Dan from CI and the executive director. I think we need to have a little bit of a debate here and talk about how closely this board wants to be to the ongoing operations and reporting from the business portal subcommittee. When we got the North Highland report back, one of the things that was expressed by the board was, well, geez, this says a lot of things that we already knew. I was kind of expecting a different outcome. And I at least want to make sure that we don't have CI and affected agencies work for 6 months, 9 months, a year, and then bring something to this board that we weren't expecting. And so, although I'm not really excited about a monthly meeting and sitting through and getting up on these, I don't know of another way to necessarily stay close enough involved to know whether we're veering off on the wrong direction or not. Now, it is possible to do that through Dan reporting to Greg and Greg telling us what's happening, but I think it's probably most important that Don, who's affected by this, Bill, Roxy, and with that, I'll just open it up.
Sure, and let me give you my take on it, Mr. Chairman. This is a project that started out with a feasibility study, which is the North Highland part that you alluded to. The second part of it, and the decision item at that point, was to go forward with requirements gathering. And that's what we're doing, is requirements gathering. And as we've had this subcommittee of the business committee, it had a meeting, and we agreed that we were going to have, and to clarify the nomenclature, it's not a steering committee, but a project team. And what we've had occur since that meeting there is this project team has met, I believe, about four times, which we have forwarded the minutes to Chairman of the Business Committee, Mr. Glassman. And as I've told you before, one of the great opportunities we have here in this project team is the EDs that have put people out there, such as Don with Alice, Roxy allowing us to have Becky, getting Mike Watley on there. We brought the top-notch people of these four agencies that we're talking about a cross-agency process with. And one of the things, this is new ground, I consider, in how we're doing an IT project in the state of Colorado. And the project charter calls for not majority rule, but consensus rule. And what we've have started here is a team concept and really some partnering in here to try and come up with what the requirements are. The stage that we're at in this right now is the affected agencies are bringing forward the business forms that a person starting a new business is required to do. They've agreed on the charter. And the charter has been changed slightly from what the business committee. But we're giving ownership to this project team. And don't confuse this project from any other project. The only difference with this project is it's been initiated by the board instead of an agency coming forward and doing the task order. And when I look at it from a risk management standpoint, it's not like we're expending dollars, we're expending time, certainly, and to the extent that those relate to dollars, but what we're in is requirements gathering. And I think it is to the benefit of this project that we leave this project team alone with just the reporting back up to the business committee to say, okay, here's what we're doing. And one of the things that we discussed at that first meeting of this business subcommittee meeting on the portal was, you know, we're concerned about one agency may not be wanting to play as much as we would hope. And so the business committee was saying, okay, if we need to talk to an ED or something and to get the cooperation, if somebody started dragging and they weren't coming in the meetings and we needed that information, that's kind of the role that we would play. Not driving the requirements gathering as much as being a supportive role, but I can tell you, in my opinion right now, the status of this project that's going out there, because of the buy-in that we had from the four major agencies, is that it's going very well. And they're, and I gave this in an email to Kent, one of my concerns as we talk about time is when we bring those four people that are on that project team, along with the project team manager being CI and Dan Morrison, we're asking them to do another meeting. We're asking them to do a monthly meeting. You have work for them that is quite critical now. We have a hard enough time trying to schedule them for. We've been having weekly meetings on that project team going forward. And I would propose to this board that the chart on this, which I have given the chart that says project teams over here and we report back up. Not that the business committee sit there and meet with the project team. Let the project team do what they're doing and let us, if there's problems, talk to the project team. But we can't ask for a better project manager than Dan at CI. And so I throw that out as my perspective on it and what I thought I understood from the business committee. And Kent and I have had this volley of emails going back and forth, and we finally says, okay, throw it out the board and let them decide, and both of us are happy to live with whatever. But, sure.
Don? Could somebody kind of just hone in on what you're asking us to decide?
Yeah. Sure.
A little more let
me try. You are so good at trying to call me to task.
I try. What are we being asked to decide?
You're being asked to decide, do we just let the project team report back up to us, or does the project team have to meet with the business committee? Is that accurate, Kent?
Yes.
Okay. Gary, and then Bob, Jerry?
I would suggest that we just have them report directly to us, the project team report to us, so that we are getting firsthand information. It just doesn't make any sense to report to the business committee and then have the business committee report what the project team should be reporting directly to us. So
and
I would just recommend that be the method that we use.
For clarification, is that in the form of written communication on a report?
Yes.
Bob and then Annette. Bob?
Greg, correct me if I'm wrong. Your concern is calling the project team out of what they're doing daily for another meeting.
That's one of them.
As a writer on the suggestion, is there a problem if in the four monthly meetings or so that you schedule each month, if you have one of those meetings just scheduled more open for the members of the business committee that want to attend and get a blurb on where you are for that month and scoot out?
You know, I think that's acceptable. What I don't want a business committee person doing at that is that project team thinks that they have to answer at that meeting to them. They're welcome to participate and be there.
Okay, I think the concern might be of whether or not the business committee members are going to give steering commands.
Yes.
I think that you can make a ground rule and a norm that the communication is one way to those members that are attending, and that any steering or any adjustments that have to come through go through the channel that you're talking about that's already established. That would be fair for me.
I think that's fair. If you're welcome to sit in there and watch whatever's going on, but direction changes, anything should come to me, to the project team, and taken back down through there as appropriate. We've got great people, but I tell you, as a four-agency collaboration, it can be tenuous. And I don't want to give them any reason to say, time out, I'm done. Because this is an important project in my mind.
Annette, and then Kent.
Yes, and I just want to... But my question
I ask
is...
other questions all the time.
All right.
Apologize. Don't care.
It's cool.
My question is, because I read the report that that North Highland had presented, and there was a really broad scope of possibilities that were outlined in terms of what function could address. And I was wondering, has some sort of scope been defined that provides some parameters for the project team to move forward with? And is that something the board gets involved in or not?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Annette, it is a broad scope, and what has been requested and what is codified in the project charter, that there will be more than one option looked at. As we look at this project and what North Highland recognized is, a business one-stop portal could be as simple as a website out there with a series of links to the more robust of an interactive wizard that guides somebody all the way through that. And the direction that has been given to this project team, specifically with Bob's insistence along with Kent's, is that we look at, and the deliverable on requirement gathering is, we have to look at three options to do it. We have to look at the business case and the costing of three options and present those back to the board. That decision is then made back up here at the board level, not at the committee level, but back up at the full board. And so that's what we would do.
Thank you. And then, so at a later date, the board will be able to scope the budget and all of that.
The implementation.
And then at that time, can you just tell me, where does it float on the list of work in progress for CI? How does that work?
I think we would, since this is somewhat different than every other project that we've got out there that is single agency, and the way that we work is we go through and we do this matrix, and I'd be happy to explain the matrix more fully with you offline. But one of the major things is when we have a task order, there's an agency that signs that task order. This is one that's going to be four agencies that sign the task order if we decide after requirements gathering how we're going to go forward. And then we do a whole new scope of work. There's our go, no-go decision point that we're going to have. And so what we do then is we assess agency readiness as one of the big ones. But we'd still go through this scoring matrix. And at any time, this board can deliver to me and to our contractor a higher sense of priority on a project. And that, again, would be part of that decision-making that you would have to do. And you've got four EDs that are sitting on here that are the primary impacted agencies on this project.
Thank you. Ned? I'm sorry. Did I miss? Oh, Dan.
Just a couple comments for the board's consideration. The reason that perhaps there's some connecting the board into the project team meetings. Coming from me, and frankly, it's coming from me because on the conference table, representatives from five agencies coming here representing their executive director and their agency's own agenda and technical infrastructure and business-facing services. It's very much an art to facilitate that diverse group of folks with diverse agendas into
project team that can operate according to the same vision. Frankly, full meetings of the project get on the same adopt the project charter with some modifications to the original language that this board saw, because everybody came to the table with a different vision. So I think finally have everybody on the same page. Also, in the course of this charter, specifically instructed the team members that they were in charge of determining the scope. Over the project is not being driven from the top down, it's being driven from the agencies up. The real challenge that we have is in identifying agencies where opportunities are for cross-functional integration of these business directors at the table that has a representative on the committee has appointed a top-notch person, and I can tell you that we're really beginning to get traction here. Staff has told you, but I gave a presentation of the unemployment Y portal. I was surprised. I was expecting 10 people. 47 people came to the meeting. An interactive demo.
They were thrilled.
There was a lot of excitement there. And this is your internet self-service project that, to this point, has only been talked about, but we didn't know much about. It's going to be a real opportunity to roll that functionality into this business one-stop portal. So I guess my question to the board is that you accept my monthly written reports, which represent all of the representative board members here who have staff on the committee. Use that as a starting point for your questions. What I've suggested is that we have a meeting every Friday, every fourth Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning, our conference room. Anyone who wants to participate and ask questions, come to that meeting. I'll be there. A little hesitant to end board members who really typically are operating at a policy level into this operational group who are down in the weeds trying to figure out how we can make this computer talk to this computer, move data back and forth, that they're operating at a very different operational level than this board would operate. So, but it's worth, those are my concerns.
Yeah, I just want to say what Dan's saying. And part of it is you've got agency issues. And unless you understand agency issues and state government really well, I think it's just interference, frankly. Whereas if we have the ability to review it and then make comments about what it is, we're not interfering with those agency interaction, because having run through the CJIS program with the Department of Public Safety, with the district attorneys, with the courts, we had five agencies, and so what Dan is saying is exactly right, which is why I'm recommending that we do it through a project team, because when you start getting other players involved in it that don't know what's going on and don't know how those agencies work and try and resolve each of those business issues, it should be up to those agencies to resolve those business issues unless and until we see a real problem with what it is that they're coming up with and solving it. And I think that's a piece of what we're trying to say, at least what I'm trying to say, with regard to why I don't want it to go through the business committee. I want it to go through the project team, because they're all sensitive to each other. They're all trying to negotiate what it is that they can do with each other, with the resources that they have, with the limitations that they have. And unless that all works out with that, with and among those groups, we would just be interfering, in my opinion.
Annette?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the North Highland, we had a lot of interaction with them and with the Office of Economic Development and also talking to NFIP. The stage that we're in now is looking at the requirements gathering, and so what we're focusing on is the business process of the agencies and what they need. The next step is going to be, yes, engage those, but that's in the next phase as opposed to this phase.
Bill Hobbs, and then you can't.
And I think everything I've heard sounds good. I guess I'm just trying to compare that with what I thought I remembered hearing when the business subcommittee met, I think, back in January,
probably.
And I'm sort of looking at my notes, which are pretty cryptic about that. But
what I wrote down, notwithstanding that advice, I have three numbered things. The first step was the charter, which was the kind of the high end picture of what this would be. The second level was the plan, which was more of the who, what, where, than the the high level charter. And then the third step is the deliverable in the evolution of this. And it did seem like at the time the expectation was that each of us on the, the affected agencies that are members of the business committee would make sure that we had a representative for this project team, and that we, because of the way this would evolve in succeedingly more detailed steps, that they may need some guidance along the way. And that it would be hard for Dan, for example, necessarily to do that. And it sounds like there is maybe a bit of a struggle on getting everybody to have the same picture and so forth. And it made sense to me to make sure that at least a subgroup of the portal board is actually providing that guidance and support that they might need. And I don't know that that's the way it's working out or not. Like I say, it just seems a little, what I'm hearing is a little different from what I think I thought was going to happen in January. It may be the right thing to do, as long as the project team is not left with, too much disconnection from the guidance and the support, making sure that they're still on the same original vision that they were going to start off with. And maybe just one more thing to mention about this, which I think was maybe an underlying theme of this, was that this is different than other portal projects, not only because it's initiated by the board, but because it's an enterprise project. And that's why it's especially difficult when we're dealing with multiple agencies that we perhaps need to be very careful how we approach this, as far as making sure everybody does work together and so forth. So I don't know.
Two.
Great.
I'll defer.
Okay.
I was just going to say, my cryptic notes are about the same as Bill's, and the only reason I brought this up is to make sure that when they come with a recommendation to this committee, I think it's going to be like the fall, that we all say, yeah, you hit the mark. We have a very clear decision point here, right? And with the North Highland report and the receipt of the North Highland report, I think some of the people around the table said, geez, that's not exactly where I thought we were going. No. This is going to go down in history as the longest business committee report ever, and I apologize for that, but a good debate all the same.
No,
and
always is.
I guess I really feel like if as the Department of Revenue, the Department of Labor, the Department of State, if you feel like you got a pulse on what's happening and it's all filtering up well, we're going in the right direction, and we can do this. If we feel in 90 days after a few reports that we're not as close as we want to be, or there's some breakdown, we go back and we revisit this, and that might be healthy too. So with that, if we, Dan the debater, if you want to say something, I think we go to Dan's written reports to the executive director, who brings that to the board, and if we need more dialogue, we'll pursue it.
Jerry?
I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, it's not prohibiting us from reviewing the report and making comments to the group. I just think that's the method in which we do it, and it's properly given to Dan and to Greg to go back to the group, and if the various executive directors want to give some direction to their project team and the members of that project team, that's totally appropriate. And then we see what they come up with and see if we have an issue with what they come up with, because we're going to give final approval to it anyway by the board. So, but I think they get the opportunity to work it out and work it through, and I think that's what makes most sense.
Bob?
I'm just searching my feeble brain to try to remember if I've seen monthly reports, and I don't believe I have. So if someone could catch me up, it'd be helpful.
Dan?
We've had, the first monthly report was submitted about 2 weeks ago. Back to the business subcommittee.
I was on the business subcommittee. I still don't think I've seen it.
Greg? You're in a subcommittee. Greg?
Yeah, thank you. And Bob, you probably haven't. I've submitted them to Kent last week and had
meeting adjourned.
So much for review by the business.
I've certainly not thrown Kent under the bus on this because as I submitted them to him, it was with a comment. Let me know if you'd like me to forward these to the appropriate committee members. And that's what started this discussion. Okay, how should we do that? And so you haven't got them. Kent's got them. I'll forward them. They're all there to have. And I think
I got minutes, and I am not going to read minutes of these committee meetings. I'm just not. So if there's an executive report in aware of that. I thought they were all minutes.
There were four things. There were three committee meeting minutes. There was the adopted charter, originally adopted March 4th, readopted March 10th. And there was the report.
Yeah, so why don't you just send the report? We'll take your verbal, and if that suffices, we're good.
Representative Ross,
Gary, you're looking for a motion. So moved.
We don't need one.
Okay. I'm looking for something.
Okay.
Sure, I'll take a motion.
I think you were trying to call.
Did you say a motion? I'm sorry.
Totally agree.
There were no questions. What's next?
Dan.
I'll commit
to
making a very easy-to-consume report available. With an executive summary on top of the minutes underneath, and my offer of last Friday of the month, 9 a.m. meeting in my office with coffee served on a stand, and I'll
be there too.
So nobody has to read it.
One other question, I really do appreciate that. At what point would there be a decision to be made by the board as this progresses?
I think our collective understanding on the side is that we're going to, assuming the board is monitoring through my monthly reports, you're going to see how we're progressing on an ongoing basis. And so that when we deliver you the
you don't want everybody to see the ugly part.
The fourth quarter,
you want to see the final plan that comes out pretty.
And that's the deliverables.
The deliverable is a special.
Seeing every other baby be born.
Bob Feingold.
Three options and a cost for each one, benefits. In other words, the finishing of the feasibility study.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. That's correct. But we are making great headway as a team. There is no dissension at all among the committee.
Yeah, they're all
and
good.
I don't think there's any need to call in higher powers to.
Okay, I think we have resolution on that. I don't believe we need a motion, and if anybody's not clear, we'll read about this in the minutes next month, and then we can decide amongst ourselves.
That's a lot of pressure on Kate.
All right. She takes very good notes, by the way. Okay, and so does that conclude your final, I mean your business committee report, Kent?
By a long shot.
Yeah. Executive Director's incredibly brief update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I will attempt to do that. The first thing I'd like to make this board aware of is a week ago, Dan gave a presentation to a number of financial managers, OIT's contractor that is looking at security, concerning payment credit and what's going to be happening with the Treasurer's Office talking to the Colorado Financial Managers Association. And what's happening in the credit card industry right now is there's a new set of standards that are coming out that potentially could make it very difficult for agencies that are accepting credit card payments right now to be in compliance with them. Colorado Interactive and this portal can be in compliance with them. There's a great opportunity for us to increase our payment engine business by a lot. After that presentation that Dan gave, it was very well received. We've had numerous agencies contact us subsequent to that, and so the payment engine business is going very well right now. I'd like to talk a little bit about EGEs that we're in the process of. Boulder County, we believe we'll have a EGE signed with Boulder County next week. Town of Lyons, we're talking to Town of Ward and Elbert County. You know, what's really amazing is we need to give Kathy some credit of going out here and doing this marketing, because as she talks to Town of Lyons, she goes, well, Lyons is in Boulder County. I better talk to Boulder County. And so it's just keeps snowballing. And I think by the time we roll out the first very successful local government website, we'll have everybody else at Seagate going, wow, why weren't we the first? And Town of Lyons is very excited to be the first. I've had communications also with the city of Sheridan. We are going to participate and present, along with Mike Lokaitis, to Colorado counties in their spring conference. And I'm very excited to be able to show some of the local government that we're going to have on our home website as Mike talks about the consolidation, and he's from the state trust in. I've been there, and I know how that goes. Also, a notice that I'm going to be speaking at a convention in Seattle for governing, talking about financing of IT initiatives. I was requested to do that. There is no impact on the SIPA budget, and that concludes my...
Bob Feingold.
Are you on the SEMA conference as well? Or?
We're not speaking at it. We're attending the SEMA conference. We talked to some of them, and we're hopeful that in the fall, which we think fall is actually a better conference for us to participate in, because it doesn't include the state managers and the financial managers, that it's only the information managers.
Actually, though, the managers and the financial managers are a great constituent group.
They are.
So I do have a slot for an OIT update, and we can talk a little bit.
I would love to, because we tried to get on the agenda, and we weren't able to. Since I'm sharing Colorado counties with you, thank you. Oh, one other update. Excuse me for, and Don left. Did he leave for good?
No.
Because one of the questions was, I am working on, and by before next board meeting, I will have for you a presentation that any board member could go and take to a Rotary, a Kiwanis, a service club. And we're creating two separate presentations, one to the general public that is more of a marketing piece, and it's telling about the good things that this portal is doing for the general citizenry. The second one that is going to follow a lot of the same things, but more importantly, it's going to be to decision makers, and it's going to have the clothes asking for their business and asking for them to participate as a part of it. And so sometime between now and next month, we will have those presentations completed. And the question for you, Ms. Morris, you were talking about you needed one, and I'm sorry that I don't remember the date, but you'll have one within 2 weeks.
What will I have?
A presentation
like
that you...
Oh.
So that you can give the presentation...
on the portal.
And I have termed it Portal in Your Pocket. And so...
That doesn't sound good.
I know.
I'll rename it.
Move to strike those remarks from the record. Senator May.
I'm ready for that, too, for sure.
Okay, we'll have it very soon.
The other thing I want to ask you is, with the price of gasoline going so high, the credit card companies are using discount issue credit cards out there. There's tons of credit cards now being issued. They'll give a 5% discount. All those new credit cards floating out in there, is that going to affect us in our online payments? In other words, some guy comes in and he puts one of those credit cards in there and he's not approved yet or whatever it is.
You wouldn't have the
is
car.
There a big fight involved now in that, and somebody's all disappointed because they couldn't register their car online?
Mr. Chairman, we haven't seen that, but I can tell you that most of those ones that you're seeing, and you're talking about affinity programs, and whether it's from an association or whether it's from a corporate side, anything that has the Visa or MasterCard on it will accept. We accept American Express also. We don't express Discover. We accept what is 95% of what's out there for payment by credit card currently. That does mean we probably have 5% out there. That doesn't mean they won't have another credit card that we would accept if they had the Discover. So we haven't had that problem yet. And don't forget, we also allow for an e-check as a payment method. And so they've got alternate ways that they can pay it besides the credit card if the only credit card they have is one we don't accept.
You don't want to run them off, that's for sure.
We don't, but you also don't want to build a business model that says you're going to respond to 1%. Maybe some point we will, but at this juncture, I don't think it's in our best interest.
Further discussion? General Manager's report. Dan Morrison.
Take my seat, Dan.
It should be very, very fast. In fact, I don't even need to sit down, Greg. Thank you very much.
I'm sitting over there.
Oh, well, then you
apparently his portal is full.
He needs to stand up.
You have my report in front of you. I'm not going to leave the front page just in the interest of time. We had a great month in March. We completed 7 interactive applications, a couple of very significant ones. You can now acquire a search and rescue card online and pay for it with a credit card. This is a card that costs $3, and if you're ever stranded on the steep slopes or you fall off a cliff while you're taking a hike, the helicopter can come in and medevac you, and it won't cost you a dime because you paid the $3 insurance fee. Otherwise, they bill you for the service.
So is that not also included, though, in fishing and hunting licenses?
It's
not?
It's not. It's a separate card. And this is offered by the Department of Local Affairs. So that's online now. It's very interesting. I'm going
to be
one of the first. Go and get your $3 card.
We're glad you are.
Driver monitoring service went live this month. This was a big accomplishment for us. It's going to be a great service for the vendors that sell insurance data. Let's see what else. 7 websites provisioned in the CMS. We spent a lot of effort getting our tax payment portal ready for April 15th. We're going to do some more load testing next week.
Please.
Thank you. Thank
we have a plan to have 2 customer service people and 2 technical folks basically on call 24/7 in the office on the phones.
I need an extension.
She needs money.
You've already heard the Colorado Business Express report, which is going very well. We did have a very good, and I mentioned it a minute ago with Don, we were invited to give a presentation, a demo to the Unemployment Insurance Division of the Hawaii functionality that encompasses Hawaii Business Express, which is sort of our model that we're following for Colorado Business Express. There's an unemployment insurance component to that that we built with the Hawaii Department of Labor. My colleague there gave a great demonstration. We were expecting 10 people. About 50 showed up, and it was a really good opportunity. I think that's going to be a very good entree to linking this effort of Internet self-service to the Colorado Business Express endeavor. More news on that front. We'll find opportunities for collaboration there. I did give a seminar on portal transaction processing on March the 21st in Michael Lukaitis' conference room. Thank you. Many people came. I thought it was a good thing for the portal and the state. Mark Weatherford, the Chief Information Security Officer, and his consultants were there, and I think it's going to be a great door opener for the portal, expand our transaction processing business. And I also gave a seminar on the self-funded model and portal business processes, and several board members came. Thank you. And I'm sorry, if any of you want a private showing, they couldn't make it. I'd be glad to give one to you.
You might want to do that one again.
Okay. We'll schedule another one so that we can hopefully intersect with people's calendars. Portal financials, I'll pass around. Since I don't report, I can tell you that there's nothing that you haven't seen before here except another month worth of very solid data. The portal is very stable. Our expenses are stable. Our revenue stream is fairly stable, and we continue to diversify our portfolio of revenue. Apologies for the rush through that, but if you do have any questions about the financials, feel free to circle back to me later, and I'll be glad to clarify any issues that you have with those. And I'll take any questions.
How do you account for this incredibly high number of page views this month in the portal?
I am sorry that I didn't delete that number out of the table in time. Thank you. We're still sorting out that anomaly where we ended up with double the number of portal hits last month over the previous month. That's not a correct number.
Okay.
I do think we did see a lot of traffic on the Great Colorado Payback since the Treasurer published her booklet in this coming paper listing everybody in the state that's got unclaimed property. I think we saw in 3 days 500. Half a million page views. It pushed us to the very max yet again. But that's all good news. So about half of those were Great Colorado Payback hits on Sunday.
Wow.
And we had the team work at nights to tweak the database and make sure that things were running smooth.
Ben Marsh.
And on the same page, I noticed NA and the live health December line.
It's on the agenda.
So there's not a number of accesses to that. Is that because
we change our method of
this was when the state libraries and the CI parted ways. That's
what I thought. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Senator May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, how do you get information on fee changes out of the legislature? There's a lot of those pink sheets floating around, and there are some fee changes occurring.
We depend entirely on the agencies to inform us.
Agencies usually program. They program in the fee changes.
Yeah, and when they don't get it because it hasn't changed on the website, they'll screen.
Yeah. And they're the ones receiving the revenue
and
for it, so they'll change it.
We can change it within 30 minutes, and as soon as they tell us that it changes and they get a different fee coming in, it'll be represented immediately. And you asked a question the other day, how do we know that it really took an effect? We can go in and we can look and we can see that next transaction that happened was at a different fee rate than the previous.
So we're not going to collect something at a lower rate and then 2 weeks later say we didn't collect enough money.
Not if they tell us. But our mind reading has been diminished.
Most of the agencies
are really on top of that because most of the time it's going up and they're changing it to go up.
They're monitoring.
You know, so, and sometimes it's you know, for example, our fees are on date of conviction, not necessarily on July the 1st, so we have to wait until there's actually a conviction. So, which I might want to talk to some representatives
or senators.
Well, they're innocent. Okay, next subject here. Outreach plan for content management departments. I mean, I see that you've got here five in ICBUF and two in DOR and two in health department. How about the others? And how about feedback from those who've been trained? Are they actually doing something with the training we gave them?
Well, Senator, if I could respond to the first part. I don't know if you were here last meeting, but I commented that I thought that the administration folks would work to see if we couldn't get a presentation at one of the cabinet meetings. So everybody, you know, more than a presentation, a real show and a push for agencies to think about this at a cabinet meeting with the governor present so that we can get
this.
It's
a great idea. I was not at the last.
Oh, I didn't think so. So I think we ought to do that. That's maybe what you're referring to.
That is.
That's
you requested it for a presentation to be able to give the governor, and you'll have it. And that's when I was asking when you wanted that.
Yep. So that's the answer to the first part of your question.
I started screaming about the legislature about a year ago, and I don't think they're up yet. I mean, they have great content, but boy, their delivery sucks.
We've got an EGE. We've had the conversation, and this is one of those things, you know. And that's been one of our biggest obstacles is agency resources to be able to do it. And that's why you've allowed us to hire Chris to go out there and help a couple other agencies so we can do it. And they're being directed by Chris is being directed by John and Mike as needed. We could probably use 10 other Chris's out there if we could find them, hire them, and pay them. But this outreach that you're talking about on CMS, one of the things I believe is when you look at that Fatwire new website that we've got right now, and we tell an agency, you can have that, that's all in Fatwire, wouldn't you like to play too?
I agree.
That's pretty big outreach.
It is. That's a great
major
marketing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Senator May.
Dan, I notice you've got Managers Association in here, Colorado Fiscal Managers Association. Are there other associations we ought to be looking at for HIPAA? At least the state-sponsored ones?
We've had some. We've done work for CIMA. We've done a CMS for Seagate, which is not a state agency. I would say I couldn't tell you all the other associations off the top of my head, like CIMA, CIFMA, CISMA.
CIMA's still on state.co.us.
Dan, are our operating expenses going up as a reflection of new hires? I think our headcount, your headcount, has increased. Is that? It's about a 10% jump this month from last.
Our headcount is very stable, so we're just doing this by headcount. To tell you the truth, I'll have to go back and see what we went to
10%.
Maybe we bought a server.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
Senator May.
Hey, this is my last one. Mike, if I'm wrong now, you correct me on what I'm saying about this. Looking at page 6 and your projects that are listed in there, and we're looking at what passed this time, what gets passed in the legislature. So we could have some of those things that passed that we have to work on and get in there, and we might want to work with you guys on integrating them into your list.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's a great point.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That could be a full column. Yeah. I mean, really, that could be a long... Well, you've been there. And that stuff stacks up at the end.
Yes.
Were you concluding that? Great. Any more questions of Dan?
I had one question.
No, you said last one was your last one. That was your last one?
Senator May. Senator May. Yes. There's still some you don't have. What's our plan to get them all signed? Whether they do business with us or not,
sure.
I'd sure like to see if it's ever.
Yeah, and we've had discussion with most of them, and I've had the discussion both with Mike and John about whether it's appropriate that it become a requirement of OIT that they all have EGEs, not that they all have projects,
right.
Because if we have an EGE, we can get on a project much more quickly than if we have to go through the whole process of an EGE, and so it's really a pretty easy thing to communicate out there if the Office of Information Technology desired to do so and saying thou shalt,
mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't require anything else for them to do.
We can make it part of our presentation in the cabinet meeting to work with Jim Carpenter first and then encourage the other departments on board.
Yeah, you know,
have one in place.
I would just,
and it is to have to negotiate one before you can do a project. So.
All due respect, I would just be careful not to make this sound like something people have to do that's sort of thou shalt, because this is exciting stuff, and we want people to feel positive about it. And if all we're talking about is making it easier if there's an intergovernmental agreement in place, I would hate to have some goodwill expended over just trying to make it easier and sort of end up taking
misperception.
I know what you're saying. Maybe after we make a presentation and make it sound like the greatest thing, they'll line up and we'll have them ready to sign it right there, and that's how we get it done.
I can't tell you what's in those bills right now. If you know that.
Can it be?
We have some other business. Bob Feingold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had an action item a couple of meetings ago to ask Kath Leah Robinette of the Center for Digital Government to take a look at our website and then come back at a subsequent meeting and give us a report on our website from the perspective of the Center for Digital Government and the best of the web criteria. I've contacted Kath Leah. She's more than willing to do it. She can do it in time for the June meeting, and she would request 35 to 45 minutes at the meeting to do that. She only requests that the SIPA pay for the transportation from Sacramento to Denver and back, economy, and for a hotel if she has to stay overnight. She might not have to. What I'd like to add to that is that Kath Leah look at the new site as opposed to the current one, or in a combination of the two, and hopefully work with CI to understand where they're going with that as part of the task. And then I would just like to suggest that we turn over the remainder of the action to make it happen to Greg and get the proper things in line to pay for it and get it done.
So moved.
Second.
First of June.
Discussion.
What's the timing?
June.
Timing on our behalf,
Bob indicated to me that she's pretty booked up in May.
May's pretty tough for her.
And Bob, I don't know if your conversation was around our board meeting or a separate meeting.
No, it would be the board meeting.
So yeah, we're looking at the first Thursday in June,
to reserve that time, 35, 45 minutes, yeah.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No? Oh.
I'm not sure about that first meeting of June.
Are we away?
Well, the motion doesn't include a date, I don't think.
It didn't set a date.
June or later.
I know that he's talked to her about
about the June.
If we're going to go to another one, that she may not be available.
We got to check and make sure we got it.
Is there a problem with the June meeting?
It could be, yeah. Bill and Dee.
Dan Morrison.
Just for your consideration, the Best of the Web competition starts in June. So Kathleen is going to be a little constrained in the liberties that she may or may have. If we don't get her here before
She'd have to see it before June.
That's good. Why don't we just empower to Greg to negotiate if there's a possibility of making this happen? I don't think we need a big another decision on it. If it works great, we'd love to do it. And if we can make it happen and we can get at least, I would hope that we would at least have a quorum if she were going to come do that. Because I know people get pulled everywhere every month. Bob?
Just a question. Are we submitting a proposal for Best of the Web this year? Okay. I'll pass that along to her. So
yeah, that may not want to prevent her from being able to participate.
It may. Come give us some advice before you award us.
Yeah.
Right.
Just bring the award. Just
other,
in case we
other
get
business. Appreciate you staying for a little bit of a longer meeting. There was a lot to cover. I'm sorry. I felt like I had to rush it to get us through.
You want to borrow my
But it, there's no other business.
Move to adjourn.
So move. Close enough. Give or take.
What about now?
Put on my schedule, so I don't think it.
The NCSL isn't meeting in June, or it isn't meeting at the same time we are? Okay, good. So it's in May.
I want somebody else. Yeah, I know. That's my fault.
Where's the meeting?
Here? NCSL?
Oh. NCSL?
Yeah.